From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armand Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's Word. You will find it a holy exercise to read some Psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse, to ask yourself, Can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin as his was when he penned his penitential Psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty, as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holds of En-Gedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves how far you are conformed to his likeness. Endeavor to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which he constantly inculcated and displayed. Take then the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seemed to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's Word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence, such as this I read of. Give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves, that ye be not judged.
Son of God, forsaken, the
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tamassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he's dealing with chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, where the Apostle Paul exhorts individual Christians to be quiet and to do their own business. Believers in Christ are to know their own business and not become involved in things that don't concern them. This applies to every area of life, the family, the community, and in this case, the church. Much harm results when individuals try to insert themselves into situations that are not their responsibility. Another emphasis is on the scriptural mandate for honest labor. Paul declared that a man who refused to provide for his own family had denied the faith. Now to continue this message, promoting and preserving brotherly love, here is Pastor Tamassian.
We have these scenarios within the body of Christ at times where matters arise, where things can arise within the body of Christ, and people think it's their business and it's not. There's a reason why there's structure within the body of Christ and within the world at large. There's a reason why we're not all politicians. The politicians have their business to deal with, and we elect them to deal with that business, and we hope that they deal with it in the right fashion. But that becomes their business, not really our business in the day-to-day affairs of things. It's the same within the workplace. You don't go into your boss, the one who employs you, and get meddled with how he's spending his money, telling him what machines he should buy or what staff he should hire. That's not your business. That's his business, or the hiring department of the firm. It's not your business. And it's the same within the family. There are matters sometimes of discipline within the family, and those of us with families know that sometimes a sibling will get involved, especially an older sibling, and begin to, you know, speak their mind what should happen to the other sibling, or even themselves begin to reprimand verbally the other sibling when they haven't been given the responsibility. And sometimes we come into it and we have to reprimand both. Look, this is none of your business, and let me handle it. And it's the same within the body of Christ. We have elders. Elders are there to handle certain business of the church. And whenever it spreads beyond, when there's responsibility that is specific to their duty, their job before God, and others begin to meddle, it doesn't create harmony, it creates disharmony. It begins to split the body of Christ, divide the people of God, and cause the kind of disharmony that evidently was going on here in this congregation in Thessalonica. So we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful when we hear of issues within the body of Christ, something happens within a family, something occurs with an individual. These things we must be very careful. And if it comes to us, then the question should be, do the elders know? And if the elders know and the elders are taking care of it, then that's fine. You say, that's their business. I don't have to lose sleep over it. That's their job. And I can go on my way and I can simply pray about it. We need to be aware of these things, and we need to exercise what the Lord calls us to be and to do. When there's matters that involve two or more parties, you need to be very careful in how speaking about the matter and listening to the matter and spreading the matter can create disharmony within the body of Christ. We are warned throughout the book of Proverbs, but one particular verse that is very helpful to keep in mind whenever something is being spread, or a story or a matter or a detail about someone's life begins to break out. Remember Proverbs. I always try to remember Proverbs 18, verse 17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. The person that first speaks to the issue seems to be, wow, I can't believe that. How? I can't believe that happened to you. I can't believe he said that, or she said that, or did that, or whatever. And you respond to it. You respond to it in a way where you feed it and you fan the flame, and if you carry it on, you only cause it to be worse. But how many times have we learned from personal experience that the first thing we heard wasn't exactly the entire context of what is going on? It's not all the details. And so the person who tells the story first, seeking to win the cause to their own side, brings disharmony in the body of Christ. And maybe someone on another side, they have a choice to make. Do I sit and wait and trust the Lord will teach these people, or do I try to justify my own name and get into it and probably cause more division than to help the matter? There's nothing new under the sun. This was going on in the church. And Paul says, look, brotherly love is essential. I don't need to tell you that. You've been taught of God, verse 9, and you're manifesting it outside your own congregation, but I want you to increase more and more, verse 10, and here's what will help you. Study to be quiet. Make it your ambition to present and preserve quietness, ceasing, rest, that kind of spirit within yourself and the body of Christ, and to do your own business. Focus on your own affairs. Understand the realms of your responsibility, and don't get into things that don't really concern you. How much harm gossip does. You know what's really sad? Whenever it's enveloped in pious language. I'm only telling you this so that you can pray about it. Oh, really? Yeah, like, gossip is justified when you tell me that I'm being informed simply so I can pray about it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, Peter says this, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but in your part, he is glorified. But, so you can suffer and you can suffer for the cause of Christ and you can rejoice in that. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't it remarkable that Peter sees it fitting, along with murder and theft and general evil doing, to add in being a busybody in other men's matters, getting involved in other people's affairs, sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong? And he puts it in with murder and theft. I refer to our confession and catechisms on occasion. I try not to read lengthy quotes. I don't think it's helpful to read too much, but I want to read to you this morning what the larger catechism says concerning the duties required in the ninth commandment. And just be thankful that I'm not dealing with the sins of the ninth commandment, because first, it's longer, and second, it's even more convicting. So what are the duties required of the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Here's what the wise Westminster divines put together. Listen carefully. The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man and the good name of our neighbor as well as our own. Appearing and standing for the truth, and from the heart sincerely, freely, clearly, and fully speaking the truth, and only the truth, in matters of judgment and justice, and in all other things whatsoever. A charitable esteem of our neighbors, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering of their infirmities, freely acknowledging of their gifts and graces, defending their innocency, a ready receiving of a good report, an unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them, discouraging talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers, love and care of our own good name, and defending it when need requireth, keeping of lawful promises, studying and practicing of whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, and of good report. That's the duties required. You go and read the sins yourself. And you may feel like I have felt on many occasions when I have read this. Am I allowed to speak? Am I allowed to speak? Do I have permission to talk? And indeed, that is the intention, to show how great a matter the little fire kindleth when the tongue is unleashed. How easily it can inflict damage. And in the body of Christ can cause there to be a disunity and an effect upon the brotherly love that ought to exist. That here we are, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, in union with the Son of God. We should be abounding in love toward one another, embracing one another, praying for one another, rejoicing over one another, and supporting each other in every way that we can and we ought. And yet how easily we can bring disunity and disharmony simply by saying a word without understanding the full context, not really knowing the whole story, not understanding exactly what's going on, and getting involved in things that don't really, they're just not really our business. And to partly help with that, not just to keep focused on your own business, Paul also tells us, and to work with your own hands. Work with your own hands. That is, find something to do. Idleness is dangerous. It doesn't help. Turn with me for a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. You'll see this expressed within a certain context of the body of Christ relating to widows. 1 Timothy 5. We will read from verse 9 through verse 14, 1 Timothy 5, verse 9. And Paul has given very practical advice here to Timothy, and as he oversees the church. let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, what's Paul saying here? He's giving advice. Widows under the age of 60 years old should not be taken into the number of responsibility of the church. Now, widows, first and foremost, families should be exhorted to take care of their own. That's their priority. But the church sometimes has to step in. But they should not step in where they're under 60 years of age, at least normally speaking, in normal circumstances. And for good reason. Even when they do step in, they are to be people that have served the church and labored and have a good reputation and character in terms of how they have lived. But there's a danger in helping. And you take in widows, and you take especially younger widows, and then you provide for them, and you set up this kind of charitable service to them, and they become idle. They don't have enough to do. And they begin to meddle in things, because when they're idle, they get busy doing something. And what happens is they learn to be idle. You see at verse 13, they learn to be idle. And what do? They wander about from house to house. Not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. They find something to do. And on this occasion, what the context here is, the danger is, with nothing to do, and there's too much energy and strength to go to waste, and that if you provide a context for them to do nothing, then they're going to find something to do, and what they will do will not be helpful. And so they will bring the gossip, and they'll carry it from house to house, traveling around and bringing all the ill reports and all the stories that they're hearing. And that's not what you want to encourage. You don't want a church where that's going on. You don't want to have that kind of scenario, so encourage them to marry. If they're young enough, remarry. They'll have children again, perhaps, or responsibilities, keeping them busy again so they can mind their own business and not be giving themselves to other people's business, learning to be idle rather than learning how to keep themselves busy. And this is a problem. Of course, the problem now is that, here's the thing, as Paul says, if you go back, and he makes mention of the fact that they would work with your own hands. When you're working with your own hands, you're busy. It takes time. You may be working 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day. And it makes it very difficult for you when you work so long through the day then to also travel around all the homes and tell all the gossip. And the problem now is that men, just as women, can get involved in this because, well, they don't have to. They don't have to actually move and walk around all the neighborhood and tell people all the gossip. You can do it over the telephone. You can do it via email. You can do it in social media. Oh, little social media posts with kind of covert, mysterious meanings that are behind it that are really kind of beginning to spread little things. This goes on. And people are wondering, what's going on there? Is there something going on? And then they know that. They're just throwing a seed, throwing a little thing out there to cause disharmony and disunity. And it can be done in a fraction of a second. You don't have to leave your work. You don't have to leave your home. You can do it all. You can do so much damage in seconds. And that's what makes it even more dangerous today, and that's what we see more and more people getting involved. Because if you were working on that day, you couldn't do this. You wouldn't have time to travel around the neighborhood. But now you can sit there in your 30-minute office break, and you can just send an email and lift the phone and send a text message or whatever. Beloved, it ought not to be.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.